You're tuning into the Confident Connected Leader Podcast, your premier destination for breaking through your current professional barriers. Your coach and host, Lisa Jeffs, will help you transcend limitations and achieve new levels of professional success beyond self-doubt, sabotage, and burnout. Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show. I am super excited to have Coach Kat with me today. We're in for a treat today because we're going to be diving into more into Kat's story. I'm going to introduce her in 1 second, but I want to say first, Kat, such a powerful memory I have of you, even though we only met briefly at the Archangel event a few months ago, was an instant energetic signature of this woman walks her talk. She's, you know, sometimes we go to these events and, well, I go to these events and you can see that some teachers, they don't walk their talk. With you, your energy is radiating so much that you walk your talk. You put into practice what you teach. And I don't even know fully the depth of what you teach, but I can tell you're doing it because you have this powerful presence, this energy about you. I'm sure you've heard that before. So I'm going to introduce you to all the listeners. Kat is a somatic and human design coach. She is Mastery Method certified. She takes her clients on a journey to embody their full authenticity while integrating the wisdom from their childhood trauma. Kat gently guides her clients to the root of their sabotaging patterns, empowering them to get unstuck and step into the fullness of who they are, creating the life of meaning and fulfillment that they desire. Thank you so much for being here, Kat.
Well, thank you so much, Lisa, for having me and talking about radiance. You know, you absolutely have your radiance and energy and style and this way that you just kind of own the, I was going to say dance floor, but stage maybe. I'm sure dance floor as well. And yeah, you are very authentic. You know, when we connected at the conference, I enjoyed authentically connecting with you. So then you stood out as one of those people. So thank you for having me. Thank you for those kind words. And I'm excited to dive in with you today.
Amazing. And thank you right back at you. So I was peeping. We were talking about this briefly before we came on your Instagram page. And I came across a video when you were describing your move to Mexico, which is very exciting because we met in Toronto. And I would love to hear more about your journey from, you know, I'll put this in as well. When we met, you mentioned to me that you had just started coaching, and correct me if I'm wrong, it was about a year or a year and a half, 2 years, something along those lines. However, you had the energy of someone who's been doing it for decades. This is why I say, you know, you walk your talk. So I would love to hear more about the journey that has brought you now to Mexico.
Yes, and thank you for that. That means a lot coming from you, who is such an amazing coach and who has been doing this for much longer than me. And yeah, my move to Mexico has really been such an embodiment of, you know, what I preach and what I teach, and really about following my intuition. And, you know, when I was younger, my intuition was still there. You know, sometimes I want to say, oh, I was so disconnected, and I was, and still it showed up, and I did listen to it at times. But this move has really been following my intuition and slowing things down. You know, in my human design, and we'll get into that, I'm sure, I'm a reflector. So it is about, you know, really waiting, like slowing down is going faster. And It took me about 10 months to decide where to move, like from that first nudge from the universe of, okay, I think it's time to leave Toronto. And so I had that nudge, and it took me 10 months to actually be like, okay, it's Tulum, it's Mexico that I'm moving to. And that process, and it's hard to, especially in this fast-paced world and in business, especially where, you know, my old programming is doing is better than not doing, you know, being still, like doing feels better than being still. And so I've had a lot of reprogramming of being comfortable with stillness and reprogramming that actually for me, slowing down is going faster, because when I make an aligned move, that's when the synchronicities happen and the flow, and I meet the right person at the right time, and it goes so fast. And so, you know, I was just open to, okay, I feel like it's time to leave Toronto. I'd been in Toronto for over 5 years. Which is a long time for me. I used to jump around a lot in my younger days. And I just had this feeling like, okay, I want, you know, somewhere a little bit more in nature, somewhere where there's a lot of spiritual events going on and breath work and yoga and tantra and all of these things that I'm very, like, it's my kind of growth path at this moment in time. But I didn't know where, you know? And so I caught myself like researching places and going into my masculine and trying to decide, and I caught it, you know, and I was like, okay, slow it down. I want this to be an intuitive, not logical. And so I actually planned this trip over the winter, and I've just been in Costa Rica and Guatemala, and the plan was to go to Tulum. And to kind of feel into some spiritual places and see if any of them call to me. But before this trip, I was doing a mushroom journey, actually. And during this journey, and it was a very deep, I've had quite a few before, and I use, you know, plant medicine spiritually and to get insights and connect, and also used it for processing trauma. But in this session, it was a very ecstatic journey, and I got a vision that it was Tulum, you know, and I saw myself in goddess clothing in the jungle in Tulum, and it was like, that's your place. And for 2 days after, I was like, am I gonna like give my notice to my apartment that I'm renting? And like, am I gonna do this? You know, and I was a little bit like, maybe I should go first and like check it out and feel into it. And then I really slowed it down. I was like, am I someone who makes a logical decision, you know, or am I someone who follows my heart and my intuition? And I'm like, no, I'm someone who follows my heart and my intuition. I was like, okay, I'm going to trust and surrender, because every cell in my body received that vision. And I knew that's the next step on my journey, that taking that step, things in my business are going to open up in ways I don't know. Things in my spiritual path are going to open up in ways I can't know or plan for from my mind. And so it was a month before my trip. And so I handed in my notice. I sold everything. I packed my apartments and did my travels. And here I am in Tulum with my kitty cat came with me as well. So yeah.
That is incredible. I would love to, you know, when you mentioned that you had that first intuitive nudge, you know, and you mentioned it took you 10 months. And I know people who've had intuitive nudges and they've gone years without moving forward in that direction or exploring it or getting lost in the fear story. And I've seen you talking a lot about fear and saying yes through the fear and moving forward. I would love to know your process, and you shared a bit about it, but can we go deeper into, you know, do you have a process of feeling fear and just saying yes and moving forward despite that fear or walking with the fear?
Yeah. And I love that you bring this up, because I think there is a false belief that if something's in alignment, there is no fear, or we shouldn't have fear, you know? But whenever we are up-leveling, expanding our growth edges, you know, not in our comfort zone, there is going to be fear, because anything unknown is scary to the ego, is scary to us, right? So every time we're up-leveling, we're changing, we're growing, there is fear. There is fear, there is self-doubt. No matter how good you get, that's not something that goes away. And I think that's so important to normalize, so that we don't think we should get to this point where there's no fear. Because I used to think that, right? Oh, once I get to a certain point, then I have this confidence and there is no fear. But it's actually normalizing that every time we're doing something new, it's the unknown, there is fear, and it's bringing the fear with me, right? And so those first 2 days when I was like, am I actually going to do this? There was a lot of fear, you know, there was a lot of like, am I going to leave this beautiful home I'd set up in Toronto and these friendships and all of this thing? And there was doubt and there was fear. And it was coming back to the inner knowing, you know, coming back to like, And so with intuition, it's always coming back to like, what is that inner knowing, that intuition? And for me, the process has been doing the small things first. And so human design has really helped me tap into my intuition. And it's called the human design experiment, because you're not meant to listen to what I say about human design or what other teachers say about human design or anything. It's about experimenting with it in your own life and starting small. And you listen to your intuition. We all have different types of intuition. We all have different energies, right? So human design helps you understand what your energy is and your intuition, to what you already know, but it just like confirms. And then for me, it's helped me to really tap in, tune in, and listen more to it. And when I started small, it's like, oh, this works. Like when I wait, and for me, it's I wait, and then one day I just know. My intuition is like, that's it. You know, but for other people, it's their gut intuition. For someone else, it's their splenic voice, a little voice that will come. So we're all different, right? And so the more I've listened to my intuition, to my process, now I've been able to trust it for bigger things, like this move to Tulum, right? I knew, don't rush. For me, as a reflector, I have to be. And we can all see each other in these different things, but to not rush. And I've built up enough trust so that when the fear was there, I could come back to my intuition, and that inner knowing was so clear. And that I know when every time I follow my intuition, it works, like it does work. And I've had enough feedback. But for people, I think it's really important to start small, to start on the small things. If you've been disconnected from your intuition, if you haven't been listening, don't like doing a big move or a big job change or something can be really scary, right? And it's hard to then bring the fear, but it's starting small, seeing that it works. And then it's like this beautiful snowball effect that then I have more confidence to listen to my intuition. And I still forget sometimes, right? Like even being here, I've been like trying to control. I've been in my head a little bit. I've been planning. And then I catch myself. I'm like, Kat, let go. Like surrender, trust, flow, listen to my intuition. So I still have, like, we're always a work in progress, right? But every time I catch it and remind myself to follow my intuition, like, I don't need to fear having control, right? But it's bringing the fear with me. There was fear on this move. There is going to be fear every time I up level. And it's for me, it's using practices like, and we're all different, right? So what practices work for you that help come back to your grounded center, right? Some, like recently I've been doing a lot of breath work that just like drops me into my center right away. Sometimes it's an embodiment dance, feminine dance, you know, sometimes it's a meditation, but doing these practices to come back to my center from that grounded place, what is my knowing, and then bring the fear, not acting from the fear. I think when I act from the fear, then it's never a good outcome, right? The fear is allowed to be there, right? It's trying to keep me safe or protect me in some way. Beautiful. I do want to be safe. I do want to be protected. There's always wisdom. So I can use that wisdom, but also coming back to my inner knowing to be in the driver's seat, to be driving my decisions.
I love that. And, you know, I love it for the listeners who are a lot of highly driven, mindy entrepreneurs, business leaders, leading from the head, planning. Okay, I'm just going to say it, control freaks, because I was, and still have to work through a lot of that. Do you, and I want to get into human design right after this, but I'd love to know your, because I did see some of your videos with you're doing yoga, you're doing your practices. And I think one thing as we move into this, this evolution of Earth and consciousness that all of us human beings are going on, we put, intellect and mind. And even mind, the word mindset, mindset is everything. I think, 5 years ago, that was just blowing up. And it's like, well, it's very important, but it's not everything, because we're so multidimensional. And one of the things I've seen, just in my own growth and with clients, is this coming back down into the body. Now, really coming back down from the mind, bringing that energy down, coming back into the body, which so many of us have disassociated with because we haven't felt safe. Or, as women, a lot of my listeners are 40 and above. And, the pressure, I don't know if you remember, because I know you're younger, the 90s, late 90s, early 2000s, was a very hard time for a lot of women in regards to their bodies, right? We had, there's just the media tearing apart of female celebrities left, right, and center. And a lot of women just, I think, became totally disassociated with their bodies, went more into their head. And, with the practice moving forward is really feeling safe in our bodies again. I would love to know, do you have any tips or practical things to help business leaders who are very much in their head come back down into their body, start feeling safe again, body?
Yeah, such a good question and so relevant, and I think you point out something really important, that's such a key reason why many of us are disconnected from our bodies, is not being safe in them, especially as women, and I was disassociated from my body. I mean, up until I was 30, most of my life. And, I had sexual trauma and as you said, our relationship to our bodies, and so many women body-ish, there's so many reasons, right? And I mean, so I'm a somatic coach as well. And that's something that's very powerful, is the practice of, when you're feeling anxiety or a discomfort or fear, is instead of numbing, and we numb in so many ways in society, food, emotionally eating, binging on Netflix, going on your foot. I never read the news, but I would go on the news app whenever I was instead of going into my body, there's so many different workaholism, working, all these different ways we distract ourselves, because no one's ever taught us to feel, right? Because our parents weren't taught by their parents. And so such, I think, pivotal part on my journey was the somatic coaching of, oh, there's a sensation. And, and I've been, we have emotional indulgers and avoiders, right? There's two types of people. So the indulgers get loop in the story versus actually feeling it in the body and moving it through. So they loop in the story, and for hours and hours and hours, they'll be feeling this feeling, but they're not actually feeling it. They're in their mind about it. Then we have avoiders who just distract, disconnect, numb to avoid feeling. And when you actually can slow it down and you're like, okay, I'm anxious. What is that feeling in my body? Is it a tightness in my chest? Is there a rock in my stomach? Is it like a tightness in my throat? Like, what is the sensation in the body? And when you can breathe into that sensation without the story looping, it moves in 30 to 60 seconds. And this has been like scientifically, neurologically proven. Sensations, emotions only last for 30 to 90 seconds, I think it is, if we actually drop in and feel. So if it's still there for longer, it's just feedback that you're in the mind versus in your body. And it's crazy. It's like, I remember my first experience of like, I think I'd been avoiding sadness or something. And it'd been for a week, I'd been emotionally eating and I was feeling off, but I didn't know why I was feeling off. And then in a moment, I was like, oh, I'm just feeling sad. And I just dropped in and I felt the sadness. And as soon as I felt it, without any story, just felt it and breathed into it in my body, it passed. And it was like, wow, you know? And then I was great. I was like back to my normal. So we have such a fear of feeling. And I used to have and I still avoid at times because that's my old pattern. So of course, sometimes I still catch it like, oh, Kat, this is what you teach, but you're avoiding instead of feeling. But I feel it much more. And as soon as I can drop in and feel, these things move. And I think, so that's a really helpful practice of, and when you like have that experience, it's not scary. Cause I think I used to have this story of, oh, if I feel the sadness, I'll be stuck in the sadness, you know? Or if I open this well of pain, I'm going to be stuck in the pain, right? So when you experience that, everything actually just wants acceptance, right? Including our feelings, our emotions. When you drop in and just open and accept that they pass. And when you can experience that, that creates a safety in the body, that it is safe to drop in and to be there. So that has been something, and somatic coaches, that's what we do. And we lead people, and it can be really helpful to be led through it. But it's also something people can do on their own, like breathing into and just getting curious. Another really helpful thing is yoga nidra, which is not yoga, the physical flow. You're laying down, but they name parts of your body. And it's like, can you feel your fingers? Can you feel your left shoulder, your jaw? And so if you've been so disconnected from your body, it's very helpful to slow it down and actually start to bring feeling back into your body. I remember when I first started therapy, my therapist would ask me, how do you feel? And I would never know how to answer her. Like I was so disconnected, you know? And that wasn't that long ago, when now I'm like, oh, this, I feel this and I feel all of these things, you know? So it doesn't take long but a practice I did was every night I would journal, how do I feel and what are my needs? Because if we don't know what we feel, we also don't know what we need, you know? So just being in slowing things down to get in tune with ourselves. Yeah. So those are helpful.
Yeah.
A couple things, and we can go into more if you want, but we live in this society where it's being very masculine dominated, right? And we do need masculine, you know. It's not that, okay, now we just need feminine, but it's a balance, right? A balance of the masculine and feminine. There is a place for masculine within myself, in the world, absolutely, but we've been living in a dominated masculine society, culture. So we've been very much in our heads, in the logic. And it's not taking that away. Logic is beautiful. There is a place for structure and using the mind, but it's also now bringing in the intuition, the feminine, the creativity, the you know, all of these other things and meeting them. And it's a balance of both, you know, on the micro and the macro. So for me, within myself, in my business, balancing the feminine, the masculine, and in society, you know, and I think that's a dance and it's a practice as well.
Yes. I loved how you said, you know, when we, you know, we bring it back into our body and we just give space and allow to feel what needs to be felt, it can dissipate or transmute quite quickly. You know, would be, I had anxiety is something that I had for years, right? And it escalated to a point of just panic attacks when I was driving constantly. I tried, and I'm not saying that that medication is not helpful for people, because I was on it for a while and it was helpful until it wasn't helpful anymore. And then I'm like, you know what? I need to do something about this, because for one, it's very unsafe driving. I mean, panic attack. I was done with it. And it was funny that I can't remember who shared with me first, but I don't even remember who it was, but it was trying to stop resisting it, because, mm-hmm. you know, when you're having that, you're kind of resisting. It's like, okay, let me do this. And it was like, okay, I'm going to stop resisting it. I'm just going to sit in and allow what my body is doing, just to take notice and really feel into that. And it literally dissipated like that. And I was like, wait a minute. That's all it took. And I have never gone back to that same place of heightened anxiety ever, because it comes and I feel it and I give it space and it dissipates.
Yeah. And I love that. And it, like, you have to experience it to believe it, you know, because you were like, how does that work? And and my coach who trained me, you know, she would always say, it's not our feelings that hurt us. It's our resistance to that, right? It's not feeling sad that hurts me. It's my resistance to feeling sad that hurts me. And whatever we resist persists, right? Then it's stuck there. Whereas when you, and so I love that. And thank you for sharing that story of like, actually just allowing the anxiety, and then it dissipated. And that's so powerful, because I know so many people struggle with anxiety. A lot of people, you know?
Yes. Yeah. It's really powerful when we start connecting back into our body and just processing life. Like really just allowing the full expression of life to flow through us, which includes emotions, because we're in the planet of emotions. We came here as human beings to experience this, and we resist it so much because we've grown up and we haven't had that teaching from our parents, because they never got it to really have a safe place for these emotions. So I love this. Okay. I want to dive into human design because I know how powerful it is. I'm not that knowledgeable in human design. How would you explain human design to someone who has never heard it? It's like a business leader who's like, what is this human design and how can it help me? How would you explain what human design is?
Yeah, it's a very powerful, a part spiritual, part scientific tool that gives you a roadmap to how to use your energy in a way that is aligned for you. And it really, it's helped me. It also shares, you know, like your specific gifts. It's a roadmap to who you authentically are. So there's all these tests, like personalities tests, Myers-Briggs tests. That's more about the ego, the personality, due to your trauma, your upbringing, the patterns you have, right? Human design is about your soul, who you authentically are, and who your soul came here to be. It incorporates many different systems. Astrology is one of them. I Ching, the Tree of Life. And I've like, you have to get a reading to like, cause I've never been super into astrology. You know, I've kind of been a little bit here and there with it, but human design just resonated so deeply with me. And when I got my human design, it named things about me that I subconsciously knew and was judging, but hadn't ever named. It gave me language to name about myself. And it helped me accept myself in a deeper way. And it also helped me to use my energy. And I knew, like, I would sometimes do it of like, when I wait, at some point, I just know. But I wouldn't always do that, right? Because I had the conditioning of this fast-paced world we're in. And so I'd often rush decisions and do things quickly and be off in all the unaligned directions for me. So it's really helped me to tune into my energy. And we're all different. The other thing I love about human design is it's so nuanced. It doesn't put you in a box. Like, you can be an energetic type, but then you have certain gifts and there's profiles and there's all of these nuances. We are all unique. And it's not meant to be an outside in. It's not meant to tell you on the outside and be another outside in approach. It's called the human design experiment because it's really about, and like I always tell my clients, if it doesn't land, like question it to see if it's conditioning. But if it doesn't land, don't listen to it. Like, come back to it. Listen to things that land and you're like, oh yeah, that's me. But you, like, usually everything lands. Like, for me and the clients I've used it on, it's like, oh yeah, that's crazy how that's me, you know? And it helps people to, it's helped me, it's helped my clients own my gifts in deeper ways. Mm-hmm. And really, it's really helped with my business, me using my strategy and authority, and human design authority is kind of the word for your intuition, to guide you, right? Because we're all different. And so for me, when I was expanding my business and trying to figure out what marketing strategies work for me, human design saved me because I was doing the outside in thing. I was like, oh, this has worked for this person and this person is saying this thing, you know, instead of like coming inside and yes, listening to the people who have done it, absolutely, but always coming back to my intuition inside and being like, what resonates with me? What am I excited about? What feels good for me? And then using that strategy and using it in my business, things have just flowed so much more easily. In that sense,
I love that. And that's, I think, you know, one of the things I want to talk about is getting into that, using human design to get into that flow. A lot of the clients that I work with, again, they're very heady, very can be prone to burnout, workaholism, some experience, challenges around not knowing which way to go, having clarity. So it's like, I'm going to try this and shiny object and this and this. And then it's like, oh my God, I'm so overwhelmed and nothing is working because we're in this energy. So we talk a little bit about the main profile. There's four, correct?
There's five types. Well, one's a subcategory of another. So yes.
And talking a little bit about them, how they show up in the business world for people and how people can, if they know their profile or their design, how that can help them get into the flow.
Yeah. Love this and love the way you phrase that, because I think so many of us, and there's so many marketers out there who are like, I made 100K this way. So if you take my program, you'll make 100K this way. And it's like, it will for some people, but not for everyone, because we're all different. And that's why it's so important to come inwards. And so, yeah, let's dive into the five types. So we'll start with yours, which is the generator. So there's generators and manifesting generators. So that's kind of the subtype. And generators and manifesting generators make up 70% of the population. So they're the biggest group. You are energetic beings. So you're like the life force energy. You create energy when you do things that light you up. Mm-hmm. So generators will have burnout when they're saying yes to things that are no's, when they're doing the shoulds. Oh, I should do this in my business because this person did it and it worked for them. Versus of all the marketing strategies or sales or whatever it is you're looking into, going to, and your gut is the intuition for generators and manifesting generators. It's an important part. So from my gut, what lights me up? What is a full body yes? And if it's not a full body excitement, it's a no. The gut doesn't speak in maybes in the gray. If it's not a full body yes and a full body excitement, it's a no for you. And so for marketing strategies, let's say it's like, of all the different things, which one are you excited about? You know, and I love working with generators and manifest, because it's so like human design, it is really so simple, and it's not, right? Because if you have a lot of no's in your world, it's hard to get rid of those. So the deconditioning is, you know, generators and manifesting generators have been conditioned that, you know, because you all have such beautiful hearts and you're here to do good in the world. And the conditioning is, I have to self-sacrifice to do good, right? And so that's the deconditioning, is it's not about self-sacrificing. It's actually when you do the things that light you up, that's when you get all this juicy, bubbly energy that you give the rest of us. And I get energized when I'm around an aligned generator. So when I'm around you doing this podcast that's lighting you up, I get energized from your energy. But if you were doing this podcast in a not aligned way, I wouldn't be getting any of your juicy energy. So it's actually beneficial for everyone when generators and manifesting do the things that light them up only. It's always the best. It's not selfish. So it's a deconditioning that's selfish, because if it's not a full body yes for you, that means that there's someone else out there who can help this person, or this person needs to learn that lesson to be self-sufficient to do it on their own. So that's some of the, you know, conditioning. And when you can get rid of the no's, that creates the energetic space for the yeses to come in, for the universe to send you the yeses. And for generators, the strategy for generators is to respond. So you don't need to go out there and find things that light you, search for things that light you up. They'll come to you. And so you'll pass a billboard, or someone will mention something to you, or something on Instagram will pop up, and your strategy is to respond. And so when you see something that excites you and lights you up, do it. And if it doesn't, that's not for you. And so in your business, with sales, with clients, with new programs, it's doing the things that light you up and giving yourself permission to do the things that are gut, full body excitement and yeses. And it can sound simple, and the simplest things of human, I went like deep into all of it. And then I came back to the basics and human design. It's called a human design experiment, because when you implement it, start to create the simple changes, that's when you see. And so for generators and manifesting generators, it's getting rid of some of those no's and saying yes to the things that light you up, and see what happens, and be like, oh, I have more energy. Oh, I'm not as burnt out. And then you can get rid of some of the bigger no's that are a little bit hard to get rid of, you know? So it's little steps at a time, testing it, seeing how you feel, seeing the synchronicities that happen, seeing how your energy changes when you follow your excitement, your full body, and then you can like slowly create a world that is just full of yeses. And that is when you have so much energy and you're so passionate. And that is not only the best thing for you, it's the best thing for everyone around you, right?
Yes. Yes. And I'm laughing because I know, and anytime I do, and I have a accountability coach that I work with, and she's always reminding me, she's like, Lisa, you know, when you're doing all these things, because she helps me plan my week, and she's like, you know, when you're doing all these things that you think you should be doing and you don't want to do, and then you're telling me that you're really tired and exhausted, and then nothing flows, and then when you're like, oh, I did this, it was so much fun, and I just put this out here and I got all these sales, and I just I'm like, oh yeah, okay, now I remember. It's so easy when you're in it, when you're when you're trusting, right? Those yeses. The challenging part is that programming that can come in, and it's like, you shouldn't be doing that. That's you're being lazy and you're being irresponsible. This is what you need to do, right? And it's really like breaking away from that like dictator that we can get in our brain that's saying, are you crazy? What are you doing? What are you saying yes to that for? We have work to do.
Absolutely. And that's what I love about human design is it's not about becoming. It's literally a tool to help you decondition the shoulds. And it's really helped me catch, like, and every time I catch a should, I need to, I have to, I question it. And it's like, I choose to, or I choose not to, you know? And it's because we all have this conditioning from parents, from society, from culture, of shoulds, of I need to's, of I have to's. And human design, I love it because it's like, fuck those. Like, that doesn't matter at all. Like, it actually doesn't. Like, if we are not, I mean, all of our purpose is like to be authentically me, for you to be authentically you. And to that's the place we can deeply share our gifts from, right? And so it's a really powerful tool to really helped me to catch the shoulds. And they get more, like, the ego evolves as we evolve, so they get sneakier. But I catch them and remind myself there are no shoulds, you know, and the process, you know. So in the start, we're so used to doing things we don't want to do or we think that we have to do, right? And so it's a process to, and as you said, like, you noticing your energy, how when you're doing things that are lit up, like, things flow. And when you're doing all the shoulds, the I have to's, you're drained, you know? And it's so slowing things down, noticing, slowly getting rid of some of the shoulds. It's not about doing it all at once, right? Because it's about one step at a time and gaining that trust. They're like, oh yeah, I have so much more energy. Like, things in my business are going so much more better. Let me get rid of a couple more shoulds, you know, or catching them. So it's a process. And I love the way you articulated that.
Yes, it's a process. It really, you know, I can feel when I'm around other generators who are lit up. It's like, it doesn't even matter what they're saying or what, it doesn't, none of that matters. It's the energy. And you just want to be around them because you're like, oh, this person is really just, I don't know. Sometimes you don't even know what it is. You're just like, I really like being around this person. And now I feel like I want to go out and do stuff and be motivated. So it's definitely that process. So I love how you said it's like unbecome.
Yeah.
Letting that go, especially for, you know, the high achiever group who, you know, a lot of us are doing all these things because there's, you know, that little part of us that is proving our worth through these climbing the mountain. And you know, I used to have conversations with my guides all the time. They're like, Lisa, it's not always about climbing the mountain. You don't always have to climb the mountain. Not everything has to be about climbing the mountain. Because I would be like, I really want to do that, but is that going to get me to where I want to go? Instead of just being like, hey, does this feel good? Does this feel fun? Do I want to do this?
Yeah.
It's a lot of rewiring.
So much rewiring. And I love that you bring this up because often the way our minds think is going to get us up the mountain faster is not the fastest way. So actually, when you follow that juicy thing that you're really excited about, and let go of the should, because your mind thinks you're going to get there faster. Ironically, you're actually going to get to that top of, you're going to get to two mountains higher, way faster, in a way that your limited mind could have never imagined. Because by following the thing that lights you up and you being in your juicy, magnetic, charismatic energy, you meet that person or you attract that person, just like you were saying, how you love, like, generators who are lit up. You can feel it. It's an energy. And also from that space, like, you have ideas that pop in that wouldn't pop in if you're feeling burnt out and run down and exhausted. you don't have those creative, juicy, like, so like, yeah. And that's deconditioning, right? That actually doing the thing that feels good is going to get you to wherever your soul is meant to go. That's way higher than the mountain you're trying to climb in your mind, and way bigger, because like what we can imagine from our minds is so limited, you know, compared to the universe and what the universe has for us, or, and what we're actually capable of, right? Like the thing that limits us is our mind. Yeah. And I know it, you know it. And while we're in this human body, we're still going to be limited by it, right? So when we can just follow, and for generators and manifesting generators, follow what lights you up and see the magic unfold, then you can trust it more and more and more and more. Because it is scary, right? When we're so used to being in our minds and the logic, and this step will get me there. But if you play with it and experiment with it, and then see the magic and the synchronicities, and you meet the right person, then you can trust it more and more. So that's the beauty of it.
Yes. And I love how you said at the beginning, you know, at a point in your life, it felt better doing than not doing. Felt better doing. And that's the trap we fall into.
Yeah.
Right. Because we feel we're doing, and we're not tuning in. Hey, do I even like this? Is this even enjoyable? Oh, yeah. Someone told me 2 years ago, this is what we needed to do. And I've just kept doing it, even though it's not working well for me.
100%. And that brings a very good point with manifesting generators. And the difference with manifesting generators is they're very multi-passionate beings. Mm-hmm. And so for them, the deconditioning is when they start something, they don't need to finish it, right? So, and same for generators, but manifesting generators a lot more. They'll start something and maybe you learn whatever you are meant to learn from it without needing to finish the thing. And if it doesn't light you up anymore, it's energetically correct to go to the next thing to finish it. Manifesting generators have a lot of deconditioning, like, oh, there's a linear path I need to follow and I should go from A to B. But for manifesting generators, it is not linear. It is all over the show. There is no A to B. And so it's allowing yourself to, as soon as you're not a full body yes, allowing yourself to let it go and to move on to the next thing, and trusting that whatever nugget you are meant to learn from that, you've learned, and it's going on to the next thing. So that's a very important thing for them.
Yes. My daughter is a manifesting generator and she's so multi-passionate. Just there's so many things she wants to do. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, one of the deconditionings is that you have to narrow it into this one specific thing, that you really can be multi-passionate and have all these different things going.
Absolutely. And a really good example of a manifesting generator is Tony Robbins, who has so many different businesses and so many different, and he can do it all, right? And manifesting generators are here to show the rest of humanity that we really can, like, because the rest of us are like, you can't do it. You can't do a million things at one time. But manifesting generators are here to show us what humans are really capable of. And for them, they're at their best when they're doing many different things at the same time. And so it's trusting that and giving yourself permission to do that and to not need to finish things, to not be linear. So,
yes. What would you recommend to someone who, let's say a generator, manifesting generator, or maybe this is only for generator, but, you know, when we're waiting to respond and they're in a place where they're still working on deconditioning their programming and they're, you know, they're waiting to respond, but they also have a little voice chirping saying, gotta get to work. What are you doing? You have a business to run.
Yeah. And that's the hard part. That is the hardest thing for generators and manifesting generators, is that, like, getting, as you start to get rid of some of the no's, that small space, but there's a little bit more space before the yeses drop in. Mm-hmm. It's very, very uncomfortable. Very uncomfortable for generators and manifesting generators. And I can relate to that as well. Because there's so much conditioning in society to do, like, it's so fast paced. So, you know, I would say you know, start small, like get rid, like, and test it. But also a fun thing with human design, and I don't know if all of your listeners are spiritual or not, and but whatever you want to, but something that's been fun for me is to, like, and Jenna Zoe, who has, it's called My Human Design. She has an app and a website, and she talks a lot about, she's like, call the universe in, be like, okay, universe, I'm creating some space. Like, you send me an aligned yes, you know? And it's kind of a fun way to play with the energy and to be like, okay, like, I'm getting rid of this no. So universe, you send me your source, consciousness, God, life, whatever you want to say, you know, and test it and start small and see what happens. You know, don't get rid of all of the no's at the same time, because then that's going to be like too scary for you. It's like, maybe get rid of one, but to get rid of a couple and have the willingness to test and try and to see and to kind of lean into the discomfort as best you can. And if you say yes to a no, see what happens. Feel the fact that you get burnt out again, or the fact that you're low energy. Like, maybe you need to be like, oh yeah, this doesn't work. Okay, so then the next time, let me be in the open space a little bit, and you'll see. Then the yeses will start coming, and you the more aligned yeses, the more energy you have, the more you'll be able to trust and trust your process. Right? Like, when you say yes to a no, a thing that's a no for you, that's okay. Like, maybe that's the no that you need to learn to not do that. So it's like, trust that you are exactly where you're meant to be. And it's really about experimenting and seeing for yourself, right? Not trusting what I say or trusting what someone else says, but seeing for yourself and seeing how your energy responds. And it's okay. Like, we're going to make mistakes. We're going to go back and forth. It's deconditioning, and it's a process. And so just be gentle with yourself through the process. Mm-hmm. Because everything's a learning, everything we learn. So when we have the aligned yeses, we learn, oh, that feels good. And we're out of alignment, we also learn, you know. And I still, like, whenever, remember when I first got into alignment, I was like, oh, it's a destination. This is where I'm going to be, you know? And it's an ebb and a flow. But now the times I'm out of alignment are way shorter than they used to be. You know, I would used to go way off course, and then, you know, whereas now I go slightly off course, I catch it, I'm out of alignment, I come back, you know, then you go slightly, you know, it's a flow. Like, it's a flow.
Yes. I love that. Can you tell me a little bit about, because I have worked with some clients who are projectors, and there was a theme with the clients that they would get very burnt out or very exhausted when they said, you know, I was trying to follow this person's strategy, and it was just it threw them for a completely, it was just completely out of alignment for them. And a lot of times the strategies were about, like you said, like, you're going out and finding it, or going out and doing it, and really, like, do, put it out there, make it happen. They're just like, no, it didn't work at all. Can you tell us more about projectors and what that energy is like?
Absolutely. So projectors are 20% of the population, and projectors are really the guides of the population. So how I like to think about them are the birds that sit up on the tree, who have a different perspective to the rest of the animals who are below, and they're smaller, right? They're not meant to be the generators. The generators are the bigger animals. You have life force, but like the energetic beings. Projectors aren't. The rest of the energetic types aren't. So projectors aren't meant to work 9 to 5 days, 80-hour, 60-hour work weeks. That just doesn't work for them. And it doesn't mean, so it says like a few hours a day giving their gifts, but that doesn't mean the rest of the time they're laying on the couch. They're the guide. So it's really about, like, what uniquely fascinates you? What are you so interested about? And that is the topic that you're meant to guide on. Not all the topics, but that's kind of your niche. The thing that you're just so intrigued by, fascinated by. And so that, and for a few hours a day, that's what you're meant to be guiding others on. And the rest of the hours, it's about learning, reading, learning around that topic, that niche that you are specializing in. And that actually energizes them. But giving their energy by guiding is only a few hours. So, and they get super burnt out when they try to be like generators and work all these long days, because that's just not correct for them. And for them, their strategy is to wait for the invitation, because when they guide and give unsolicited advice to people who don't want to hear it and they get rejected, they get very bitter. Bitter is their out of alignment theme. Yeah. And so for them, it's like, you got to wait for the invitation. And it doesn't have to be verbal, like, hey, can you guide? Can you tell me about this? It can be energetic, right? Someone shows interest, is genuinely curious. But when there's that invitation from someone, then they're going to receive the guidance. And then they're not going to have that bitterness. So often projectors feel this bitterness because they're giving unsolicited advice to people
who right? don't want it.
So that's the thing. And for projectors, it's about first seeing themselves as the expert, as the expert in this area, so that others can see them. And it's about building the structure so that others can see them as the guide. So sharing on your social media so that people can find you to guide them in this way, or creating your website and your podcast, or like having those structures in place so that others can find you. So it's not about doing nothing and just like, oh, I'm just going to wait here for people to invite me. It's setting yourself up so that others can find you. But also first, the magic is seeing yourself as the expert, the guide in this area, so that, and then others will also see you in that way.
Oh, I love that. Yes. And you know, I think when you were saying this, I'm seeing my mother in my mind giving unsolicited advice. I'm getting better. My daughter's like, I didn't ask for advice.
Yeah.
So important to know, because when you know these things, you can just really work with them so much easier.
Yeah. And it's so beautiful in relations, because then you don't get frustrated with people, right? And as the projector, they get very bitter, low-level frustration when they're, because they can see things other people can't. And when people don't want it, they get very then closed off and bitter, right? And the people also are like, I don't want your advice. So we understand these things when projectors can use their energy and wait for the invitation, which doesn't have to be verbal. It can be energetic. It can be like a variety of things, and for their gift, you know, it's, you don't have to wait for an invitation to ask a friend to go to the movies, or, you know what I mean? But for sharing your gift, for your purpose in certain relation, like starting a relationship, that's when the strategy comes into play. But then you have a long-term friend, you don't have to wait for them to always invite you, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But in sharing your gifts, it is very important. And then you can use your energy where it's actually going to be received, and that's going to energize you. And right. And that's the flow, and that's the synchronicity. So yeah, it's really helpful to know these things.
Very helpful. Very helpful in relations.
Yeah.
And you mentioned that you're a reflector. I don't think I've ever actually, no, I have met one other reflector. I do believe that that's the most unique of the profiles.
Yes, yes. Reflectors are 1%. So they are the rarest. And as a reflector, I think, so we reflectors have all open energy, all open chakras. Mm-hmm. And where you have open chakra, you're the most sensitive, you can feel other people in those areas, and you can be conditioned the most in these areas. And so reflectors, I think the one of the first things I read and that really hit home for me so much is that reflectors are the chameleons. And we, depending on who I'm with, the energy of that person, I reflect back that energy. So I will match and mirror your energy. And with someone else, I will match and mirror their energy. And it's not disauthentic. I used to unconsciously judge myself as being inauthentic, you know, because I would hear people say, Tony Robbins, you know, he's the same person on stage as off stage. And, you know, he's so authentic, you know? So yeah. I would unconsciously judge myself because I'm a very, very different parts of myself come out depending who I'm around. And that is authentic for reflectors, because an authentic reflector will change, will be a chameleon to reflect back and be a mirror for the people that we are around. And so that's been a huge thing for me to accept myself in deeper ways of and allow myself to be a chameleon, to change. Like, and it's not conscious, right? It just naturally happens. But now I let it happen without the judgment. And with reflectors, because we're so open energetically, our strategy is to wait a whole lunar cycle. So it's 28 days. And this is because maybe I'm talking to you and I get a nudge or an idea pops in, but maybe that's not mine. Maybe that's yours.
Oh.
Because we can really feel people on such a deep level. And so for us, it's really important to wait. And it doesn't have to be 28 days, especially for smaller decisions. Maybe it's a week. But for us, it's important that a nudge comes several times. When you have a nudge, an idea several times, it keeps coming back, then I know it's mine. It's not someone else's that I've been hanging around. And yeah, so it's a very interesting type. And it resonates for sure. Like when I heard that, I'm like, oh, that is true. Like sometimes I'm like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. And I just give myself time. And at some point, I just know. My intuition is like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But that's been a really deconditioning for me, is like slowing down is faster. When I go slow and have that, take action from that thing that is definitely aligned for me, it is way faster than when I just act, because being busy doing feels better than sitting and not doing. But that takes me in all the unaligned directions, or I feel your energy and your perception from something. And then I'm like, ooh, I feel it so deeply in my body. So then I think I want it, but it's not actually me wanting it. It's me feeling your passion for it. So then I go off in totally wrong direction. And it would used to take so long to then come back to myself, right? And so waiting really is faster, and allowing ourselves to, like reflectors will feel like different people on different days, depending who we're around, the environments we're in. And so it's important to be in different spaces and to feel, does this idea or does this thing still feel good for me after I've been in different places, different people? Mm-hmm. So that's waiting is important for reflectors. And yeah, so that's been something really important for my business. And environment is really important for reflectors, because we're so open energetically. The right people are the right environment. And when I feel good in a place, that's the right place for me. Or when I feel good around people, that means it's the right people for me. And when I don't feel good, it's just no judgment, but it's the wrong people or it's the wrong place for me. And the more I put myself around the right people, the right place, which are places that feel good, the more aligned opportunities will come in for me. So that's also something as reflectors. Yeah, allowing ourselves to be in the right environments to get those right opportunities and synchronicities and
boundaries.
Yeah. Yes.
Now that you're talking about that, the other reflector that I know, I can see sometimes she really takes the weight of the world on, like, really takes it on. I mean, I think about highly sensitive leaders that I know who are similar, but her specifically, you can really see it. So I can imagine that having those real solid boundaries is imperative for your well-being. powerful.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And we can all see ourselves in different types, right? Because if you have an open G center chakra, it's also energetically correct for you to change around different people, around different environments, right? So those people will kind of feel themselves in what I'm talking about as a reflector a little bit. If you have an open sacral chakra, your emotional chakra, you are and what we call empaths. You can feel other people's emotions. 50%, around 50% have an open energy center. 50% have it filled in. They have their own emotional waves. So the people who are empaths can also feel people's emotions. So they can kind of understand what I'm talking about as a reflect. So that's why we can see ourselves. Like there's so many details with human design. So I'm sure listeners will be able to see little pieces of themselves when I talk about generators or projectors or reflectors, right? But as a reflector, having all of the open energy, it is just even more, right? We can feel to an eve, like just to the depths that someone else can't. And when you're aligned as a reflector, we have the most potential to have the most wisdom because we can feel so deeply people and environments and places. And I can relate to what you're mentioning about this friend because I used to, and I studied environmental studies and, you know, so climate change. And I used to be so, I would feel it, you know, so much. And it's been such an interesting transformation because now I don't even listen to the news. And because for me, I'm like, actually, and not that that's right for everyone, but when I am saddened by the world and what's going on, I actually can't give my gifts to the world. Whereas when I kind of like shut that out and focus on like, what's the part that I can play in the world? And I am around conscious communities and spiritual communities and I fill my cup and I do my yoga and this and that. Like that's where I can make the most difference in the world, where I can deeply share my gifts with the world. So as a reflector, I know I'm so sensitive. And so I kind of like focus on or put myself in very positive environments. And I know, like, I do know what's going on in the world and that's not all good. And, you know, but that helps me be at my highest radiance to share my gifts and to empower others in the way that I can the most.
Yeah. And that's such an important message for purpose-driven entrepreneurs and business leaders, because so often we will consciously or unconsciously bring ourselves down, right? To try to empathize and be with the suffering, whereas we're not actually in our full expression of us and able to help those people or situations or beings when we are bringing ourselves down. It's really about, no, how can we keep ourselves the highest we can be? So then we can give and support to the fullest expression. And it's challenging for people because, again, then you have that programming coming in saying, "What, you're having a good time? You're feeling good when there's people over here suffering? I thought you were a light worker." And it's just, come on, people. Like, we got to break free from
it. Absolutely. And that's such a thing, you know, with all these wars going on. And I see some friends who are from one of those countries and just be, you know, having survivor's guilt or like having all that guilt. And I get it. I don't get it because I'm not from one of those countries, but I can try to understand and I can and see it. And I can see how much pain they're putting on themselves and that they're getting depressed. And so what is that? It's one more depressed person in the world versus one more person sharing their light and sharing their gifts. So it's deconditioning that if I feel your pain, actually we're just now two hurt people versus if I'm in my light and my radiance, I can add my gifts, share my gifts to the world. And it definitely is a deconditioning, but it's coming back to what is the change that I can do? Because I used to look at all the world problems and be so like overwhelmed by them and like want to make change in everything. And it's actually coming back to someone else's purpose is around climate change. Someone else's purpose is around whatever that thing is. What are my gifts? And then what can I do that I can share my gifts to my greatest potential?
Yes, I love that. And really putting your energy, and this is what I do, right? Putting my energy and focus, not getting lost in the noise and all the stuff that's been going on in the past with division energy and really going back into what am I here for? What is my purpose? I know what I'm here for. I know who I'm here to impact, what I'm here to do. And the higher I am with my energy, so which means following my passions, listening to those intuitive nudges that say, hey, Lisa, you know, let's do this artwork instead of writing that landing page. Let's do this thing that your body's like, ooh, I want to go here. Because I know when I come back in and I do, let's say, a video or write, suddenly I'm getting DMs being like, oh, wow, that was so helpful. Thank you so much. Instead of, you know, no, I have to do these videos. I have to get this done. And then putting my energy and then nobody even sees it because there's no life force in it. And it's, I love what you're sharing here because when people can understand their design and their profile and these little pieces that they can start experimenting with, that's when life, it's just like this life force starts coming back into their life. And they're no longer these, you know, I was talking with someone the other day and we were talking about pleasure and how pleasure is just so de-emphasized and there's so much guilt and shame and all these things around pleasure. When it's like, if without the pleasure, as even as business leaders, we become just these drones and we're not actually helping anybody when we're in this, that energy, right? So, and I feel like part of the human design is really also tapping into like pleasure places and what do we like? What do we enjoy? Making time for that, making space for that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I love how you talk about that beautiful example of like when you create the time to do art or do the thing that lights you up and then you come back making the video that has the impact. And it's like, but your mind would be like, no, you should do the video. So it's catching the shoulds and it's slowing it down, which I love you're doing and being like, oh, when I do the things that light me up, that bring me joy, it creates more impact in my business. And it's easier, you know, like there's so much conditioning. I have to work hard to make money. Things need to be hard. Like, no, life is intelligent. We are meant to have fun. We are meant to enjoy the journey. And whenever I catch myself taking my business or myself too seriously, it's like, I like to hold both, you know, that like, you know, when I look at the stars and I see the galaxies and the universe and I'm like, oh my, like I'm so small and so insignificant. And at the same time, my life does matter and the energy I bring in this world, but holding both really helps me to tap into that energy of go all out, like do my best to live my purpose and share my gifts and don't take it so seriously, like have fun along the way and like, like remember that we are super insignificant as well as that it all matters. You know what I mean? Holding both helps me to tap into that fun and that joy. And I love that you bring up pleasure because it's something I'm delving into a lot right now. Mm-hmm. And it's so important, you know, pleasure is our life force energy. It brings us aliveness. And from that energy, the ideas we have, the energy we give to other people that the people will magnetize towards us, right? Like that, and that's flow. And when we're in flow, it's not hard. Things happen, like beautiful things happen that you could never plan for from your mind, right? And so, But it's playing with it to learn it to like, oh, it does work. And then adding more of it in, you know, because people are like, oh, that's scary to make time to do art, you know, when I have such a busy day, or that can feel scary to make time for pleasure in other areas. And it's like doing it slowly, slowing it down to actually see that, yeah, it works, which is like, I love how self-aware, but also then there's like energy awareness, right? How is my energy around these things? And seeing, trying if what you're doing isn't working, you know, if you're burnt out, if you're not feeling as good as you know you can feel, be willing to try something new, right? And testing it, trying, that's what changes our lives. It's the small things, but doing it small because that feels safe, and then seeing that it works and then bringing more of it in. But yeah, pleasure is so important. And for me, you know, I really realized my rituals, you know, my morning rituals, my evening rituals, my meditations, my like fitness is non-negotiable for me. I know I'm at my best so that when I then go into my workday, I'm bringing that different energy, you know. And whenever I, you know, traveling for these last couple months, or being, I was back in New Zealand visiting family for a month, and I did do a lot of my rituals, but I missed out on some, you know. I wasn't doing as much dancing or as many of my feminine practices, and I wasn't as in tune with my intuition. So it was such a good reminder to me of like, oh, I don't reach a spiritual place and stay there, or I don't reach a place with my intuition and stay there. It's actually all of the small daily habits and practices that open me up to pleasure, to joy, to my groundedness, to my intuition that I can then create from. So that's been a very helpful work over this chapter.
Yes. And I love how you talked about the practices, because it doesn't have to be difficult. It doesn't have to be a complete life overhaul. It can be simply adding in one practice to begin in your morning or your evening, where you're tuning in or you're bringing in something that brings you pleasure, even a cup of tea, and really just slowing down and being mindful of the tea, you know, tasting it, feeling the warmth, and just being present with it can start adding that life force, right? So often, you know, entrepreneurs, business leaders, it's like, you know, go big or go home. It's like, okay, I got to go do that. I got to go do this whole thing and overhaul my entire life, you know, take a 6-month pleasure course or something. It's like, sure, you can do that. Or you can just, you know, start implementing things into your day to day, and it's going to grow and expand as you go.
And so much wisdom in that, right? Starting small is sustainable. You know, when we take like, oh, I'm going to do this huge thing, often we don't actually finish it, you know? So it's starting small, seeing that it works, and like, and it doesn't have to be, maybe you hate meditating, then don't meditate. It's like your beautiful example is like drinking a cup of tea, but doing it mind, like, being still rather than on your phone or checking emails, but just being there, drinking your, enjoying your cup of tea or coffee. Beautiful, right? So it doesn't have to be, oh, I should meditate because everyone else is meditating. It's really tuning into you and what feels good for you. And even I catch myself sometimes being like, you know, I'm doing breath work but I'm just going through the motions rather than like, oh, actually doing it. You know what I mean? So I catch them like, oh, it's a should. Let me switch things up a little bit. Or what feels good in this moment for me?
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, it's challenging because when we're in personal development and we're in this world and we go to, let's say, a seminar, and the things that people are teaching are great, right? It's like, do this and do this, and this is how you can do this. And you're like, oh, I should be doing this and this because it's good. And it's like, okay, but do you want to be doing this? Does it even feel good to you? And we really got to like be like, you know, it took me years to finally kind of, well, not finally, but it took me years of exploring and getting to the place where I could really be like, you know what? That sounds great, but it's not for me. or this sounds great, it's not for me. Or these goals that this coach has are fantastic, but you know, I don't want any of them. Whereas before it was like, oh, they want to be on Forbes. I should be on Forbes too. Okay. I'm going to put that on my vision board. I'm, you know, top whatever on. It's like, and then it got to the point where I was like, I don't even care about this. Those rights coming back to you and be like, well, what do you, right? I think that's what you said at the beginning. It's about you coming inside.
Yeah. And I love that. And I love that. I think we all go through that journey, right? And even when I started personal development, it was from, I need to take this course and do this program and this. And it wasn't from my intuition is calling me to, it was like, I'm in lack, I'm broken, I need to be fixed. So I need all of these things. Versus now, I am still always doing a program or a course and having multiple coaches, but it's not from a lack and I'm broken. And it's like from a place of already wholeness. And my intuition is curious about this thing, or I'm interested about this thing and having that. So it's, we can do the same thing, but depending on the energy it comes from, it can be such a different thing. And always coming back to, yeah, as you said, the inside, right? And so for you as a generator, it's what lights you up and really using that. And it's so simple, but it's hard to implement all the time. But just following what genuinely lights you up and brings you joy, and doing those for personal development, for the books you read, for the foods. Like if you hate spinach, even though the health people might say you eat spinach, like fall. So human design, what I love about it is it's like full permission to follow your strategy and your authority, right? So for you, it's your gut, what's bringing you joy, and responding to the things and giving yourself full permission to do that, because that's what's going to be the best food for your body, or that's what's going to be the best personal development things for you, right? And so full permission to, like, yes, learn from others and do the things, but from an inside out approach and the listening to the internal guidance. Yeah.
So important. Now, we're not going to forget about the manifestor, right? Yeah. That's like the power of the more like, go, do it.
Yes. So, and I love you say do it, because manifestors are, they're about 10% of the population, and they're the only ones. So the Nike slogan, just do it, go out and just do it, is correct for manifestors. Okay. It's the only energetic type that in, like, they're the initiators, the people who can just start things. Mm-hmm. So for them, when they get a nudge from the universe, an idea pops in, it just do it. Like, that works. Follow it. You don't have to wait. You don't have to respond. Like, none of that. You can just, it is energetically correct for them to start things, and they don't have to finish things, is the deconditioning. So they're the idea starters, and their strategy is to inform. So they inform others of what they're doing so that other people can hop on board who are aligned with it. And often then other people will finish it. But for them, they also are not energetic beings. So when they have a nudge, they'll have a bunch of energy to get something off the ground. And then they'll go through a period where they need to just like rest and recuperate before their next nudge. Oh. And so for them, it's also important to, again, not try to be like generators and work all the time. They'll have a lot of energy when they first get an idea, and then it's energetically correct to rest and to recuperate between their ideas and their nudges. And for them, it's important to decondition. A lot of them are people pleasers. They have a big energy. And so, and they're not, just like all of us, but especially for manifestors, they're not for everyone. So it's important that when they inform people, the people that they're for will join them, will jump on board, and the people that they're not for won't. And it's, so it's to be okay with that, to not try to please everyone. And a good example of this is like, if you're a train driver, you're not going to be at the London train station being like, who wants to go where, and trying to organize all of these people. That's chaos. But it's saying, hey, I'm the train driver that drives from London to France. Whoever wants on, we're going. The people that you are going to jump on, the people that don't want to go there, won't. And so it's them being okay that they're not for everyone and to inform people so that the people who are aligned will jump on board. And yeah, so for them, they have a lot of deconditioning around trying to please everyone, because as kids, they have a big energy. And so parents aren't used to kids being the lead. They're leaders, right? Parents aren't used to kids being a leader, right? So there's a lot of conditioning around that. So that's
Are there any, I know you mentioned that Tony Robbins is a manifesting generator. Are there any manifestors that we would know?
Yeah, there's, oh, who's this? I'm so bad with famous people. there's a singer once. She's a UK singer. I'm not going to remember her name, but I know that Jenna Zoe, who I learned human design from, she talks about her. And she talks about her as a manifestor because she'll go on these, she'll put out an album and she'll go on these tours and have like be out there full blast. And then she'll just disappear for a couple of years and then she'll go out the next. And so they use her as an example.
Yes.
And yeah. And so it's okay. The deconditioning is like, it's okay to rest. Like you don't have to be busy all the time. Like it's okay to rest.
Because
the resting, and all of us can learn from this, the resting is what prepares us for the next thing, right? And so but for them, it's like being okay to rest, recuperate between their, because when they're on, they move very fast. Yeah. And then it's okay to kind of like rest and recuperate between projects.
Okay. Yes. It's like that big blast.
Yes.
And then time to decompress. So they get that nudge and then it's
exactly, and listening to the nudges and not looking for permission on the outside. So that's another big deconditioning, is that manifestors often look for others to give them approval to do something, but they're the leaders. So it's them giving themselves permission to do when they have a nudge to do it, not to look for permission from other people. And so that their key piece is for them to give themselves permission to do what they want to do and know that some people will be on board and other people won't be for that, and that that's okay.
Other people won't. And I think that's important to note, and I guess this is for all of them, but it seems like manifestors, it would be important if they are getting guidance or they are getting mentorship to really learn to trust themselves, because not everyone is going to see the world as they do. Or, you know, if they're getting a nudge, it's for a reason.
Yeah. And to listen to that above all else. And all of us can relate to that, right? Like, I'm sure you can relate to like going, like we all can, inwards before all else, but especially them. So we can all see ourselves in the different types, right? But exactly, for them, it's listening to that. And for other people, you know, there's examples of, there was a lady who like had an art gallery opportunity in New York and she turned it down, even though, and all her friends and everyone was like, you're crazy. How are you turning down this opportunity? And she listened to her intuition, turned it down. And then she got an invite to somewhere in Europe for another art gallery, but for her own art gallery. And if she'd said yes to the one in New York, she wouldn't have been free to go to this one. So even when it doesn't make sense to you or to anyone else, listening to those nudges, listening to your intuition, because our minds are so limited. We don't know all the synchronicities in the universe, right? So in our nudges, our intuition doesn't make logical sense. But when you follow them and you see the magic that happens, you're like, oh my, I could have never planned this from my mind, but that was the best, like this opportunity came up that was even better than the other, you know?
Yes. And really leaning into and healing. And I mean, this is what a lot of the work I do with clients. So I know it's a process of healing the lack and limitation, the beliefs around lack and limitation, that if I don't say yes, there's not going to be another chance. Or this is my lucky break. You know, I often hear people talk about luck. I'm like, there's no luck. Luck is not a thing, right? There's energy, right? We can't believe in energy and believe in luck in that sense. So healing those wounds around, you don't have to take this, or there's limited resources or limited opportunities. And for her to be able to say no, I'm sure she really is in a place where she fully trusts that, you know, she is in a place where what is aligned is going to flow in, and she's safe to say no to what doesn't feel right at that time. Like that takes a lot of courage and just a deep level of belief and trust in the flow of the world and why we're here.
Absolutely.
That's a beautiful place to be.
Exactly. And it's like start slow to get there, to build that trust. But I love the work you do around Black limitation, right? Because that's such an important piece. And we come from a world of lack, you know, way back in the day, in medieval times, like there was lack, right? And so we come from that, but we're shifting into this world of abundance, right? Used to be in the day you would take a DVD a DVD from Blockbusters, and so it'd be one less for someone else to rent, right? Whereas now you make a copy of a CD online, there's another one in the space, right? So it's like literally we're in a world of abundance.
Yeah.
And, you know, I like to tune in with myself, and am I making this decision from fear and lack, or am I making this decision from love and abundance? You know, because wherever it's out of fear, well, I'll take this because I fear I won't get another one, versus I'm going to take this opportunity because I'm excited and I love this. Right. And it's like slowing it down. It's like, is this from fear and lack, or is this from love and abundance? And intuition is always going to be from love and abundance.
Yes. Yes. I love the, you know, feeling in to contraction or expansion.
Yes.
Does this feel in my body can feel contraction like really well. It just feels like that I'm being like pressed in and squished. I'm like, ooh, that doesn't really feel good in my body. Whereas if I tune into a choice or decision, and just feels like I'm like going into a hot tub, you know, the first few minutes going into a hot tub, you're just like, expansion. Then I'm like, oh, okay, I'm going to explore this because this feels very. And I find when I do that practice with clients, even if they're like, Lisa, I don't know energy. I'm always in my head. I don't know what you're talking about. Contraction, expansion. And we do that process where, you know, often I'll use an X because a lot of people can relate to, you know, think about an X, that one X that's, you know, is completely out of alignment for you. And feel in, right? And it would be like, oh, yeah, I can feel that control. Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. That makes sense. Right? And then we go into, well, what do you know that is in alignment for like the working out or a certain type of music or a certain type of, and then they're just like, ooh, okay. I can feel it. And that I've gotten a lot of feedback. So anyone listening, if you want to try that just to kind of practice, what does it feel like in our bodies to start getting out of our head and start listening to the signals in our body, which is a big part of, I think, this entire conversation, and using that, right, to navigate.
Absolutely. And I love it. You bring it back to the embodiment, and you bring such beautiful examples for people to slow down and feel, not just think about, right? Slow down and feel what it is for them to be in contraction or expansion. And what is that? Because being in tune with our intuition is so much about the feeling, not being in the head and being in the body and feeling. So beautiful and powerful.
And I just came like when using the X as an example, if we put like, and I'm just using X because I know a lot of people can relate. If we bring it to the head, often we just start looping, right? We'll loop around things that didn't work, things that made us upset, things that got us frustrated, and we're just looping. Whereas if we tune into our body, we can start practicing just feeling that sensation without the loop. And I think that's what you mentioned at the beginning when it's like we have the emotional, the ones that numb, and then the ones that just start looping.
Yes.
That I've experienced both. And you can just get lost in that. You can completely lose yourself in both of those polars.
Yeah. And it's easy to flip from one side to the next. You know, I went from being an avoider to then going and like indulging, you know, and it's like, okay, right. It's that balance feeling, but moving it through being in the body. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. I love that. This has been such an amazing conversation. I could talk to you forever about this. Do you have any, for anyone who's listening to this has gotten this far and is like, oh, this is, you know, this is really intriguing and I think this would be helpful. Any parting words for that listener who's thinking of, maybe I want to explore human design. What would be their next step?
Yes. If you are feeling that intrigue, then definitely explore it because there's so much. I highly recommend Jenna Zoe's app. It's called My Human Design. She also has a website, but the app has a lot more information. It has it all in one, because human design, when you go into it, there's information all over. It can be a little bit overwhelming. And so her app is amazing because she has it. And the way she puts it into words is so, yeah, so relatable, so understandable. So her app is amazing, My Human Design. And you can put you need your birth time, your date of birth, your birth time, your place of birth. And then you can read a little bit about your energetic type, your profile, dive into some things. And then if you want to go deeper into it, there, you know, I do human design readings. There are many people who do human design readings. So you can get a reading on your type. You know, I also coach around how to incorporate it into your business or your life. So there's many different ways you can go, but that's a really good place to start and to be like, does this land with me, you know, and to dive into it. And then with human design, it's called the human design experiment. So I can't emphasize that enough. It's making those small changes, experimenting with it in your life to decondition. It's a beautiful tool to decondition, to come back to more of who you authentically are. And just testing it out one small step at a time, seeing how your energy shifted, to see how with the synchronicities that flow in. And so that's really where it's at. And the more simple, the better. Like there's so many layers and details and it's all beautiful and magical. And the layers have definitely helped me. And just coming back to the very basics, your strategy and your authority. And if you just focus on those, everything else will come into play. If you use your strategy and your authority, life will guide you to exactly where you're meant to be. So simpler, the better, definitely is helpful to start.
I love that. I love that you said that, because this year for me is all about simplification. Away from the chaos or the over and the simplify. So where can people find more about you and your offerings?
Yes. So people can follow me on Instagram. It's kat.grant. Also my website, katgrant.com. I also do monthly free workshops. So I have one coming up on, this probably won't be out by then, February 6th and March 6th are my next two. So, and I offer these once a month. It's about integrating the wisdom from patterns, from childhood trauma, and patterns that are keeping you stuck in your life right now, and working with them to find the wisdom to then create change in your life. So if you're feeling stuck in a pattern and not making change, it's a very helpful workshop there. And I coach people with human design and somatic coaching, because these are tools that have really impacted my life. So the somatic, to dive deeper into wounding from childhood, which is where most of our patterns come from that are keeping you stuck, and human design to decondition and create a roadmap to bring you back to who you authentically are, so that you can connect with your passion, your gifts, your joy, to share your gifts with the world. Because that's really what I believe, that when I'm healing and can share my gifts, you know, I've been able to do that because other people have shared their gifts. And that's what really changes the world, is all of us doing the deconditioning, coming home to who we authentically are, to share our beauty, our magic in the world, which helps other people do the same. So yeah, it's a little bit about my work.
I love it. And I'm going to put all your links in the show notes for anyone who is interested in learning more about what you offer. I think it's very just where we are in the world. I think I've already said this, but I'll reiterate, moving into 2024 as our shift in consciousness is really exploding. And if you're resonating with this and you're in a place where you're feeling like, I'm just starting to notice all my patterns and my behaviors and what works and what doesn't work. And maybe you've been doing a lot of mindset work and a lot of reading and listening to a lot of podcasts and doing a lot of that heavy mindset work stuff. And you're thinking, you know, maybe it's time for me to do more of the embodiment, really moving into understanding my intuition and doing somatic work to shift some of these energies and traumas. And there's no better time. That's what I'm saying. So I love the work that you're doing and your energy and all the gifts that you've been able to share today. Thank you so much for joining us, Kat. Appreciate you. I appreciate your time. And I can't wait for people to hear about the human design and how they can implement it in their life and in their business. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you, Lisa. It's been such an amazing conversation with you. And I just want to honor you and all the gifts you share and the powerful coaching you provide people and just being the amazing, radiant human you are. So thank you so much for this beautiful conversation.
Thank you, Kat. I take all that in.
Thank you for tuning into the Confident Connected Leader podcast. Lisa Jeffs is committed to helping you break through barriers and climb to new professional heights. If today's episode inspired you, we'd be honored if you could subscribe, rate, and leave a review. To stay updated with practical tips and insights, follow us on LinkedIn, Instagram, or Facebook. You'll find all relevant links, including those for our complimentary gifts and trainings, in the show notes. Until our next episode, embrace your confidence and stay connected.